Presenter is Anna Frick, coming from the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services, and she will be speaking on an outbreak of EMM 26.3 Group A Streptococcus invasive disease.
Good morning. I'll be talking with you today about an outbreak of invasive Group A strep infections we had in Alaska. Group A strep is capable of causing a variety of infections, ranging from asymptomatic carriage to relatively mild illness like strep throat, to serious disease such as streptococcal toxic shock syndrome. Invasive disease, meaning Group A strep recovered from a sterile site or necrotizing fasciitis, is reportable in Alaska to the Division of Public Health Section of Epidemiology. The State Section of Epidemiology partners with CDC's Arctic Investigations Program for Group A strep surveillance. We typically see 60 to 90 cases per year. There are over 200 subtypes of Group A strep, which are distinguished by the gene for a surface protein called the M protein. Some M types are associated with certain clinical characteristics. Arctic Investigations Program M types isolates from invasive Group A strep cases in Alaska, which they do on a quarterly basis and trend over time. Oops. This outbreak was long and complex, and our response to it evolved as it went on. So I'd like to present some summary details of the outbreak first before I tell you about how it went. The outbreak included 11 early cases in interior Alaska and 41 subsequent cases in Anchorage. There were five people died. There were three instances of limb amputations and additional digit amputations. Five cases presented with streptococcal toxic shock syndrome, or STSS. My next bullet includes a graphic picture, so please don't look if that makes you uncomfortable. There were 14 cases of necrotizing fasciitis. Cases also shared some common features. 70% had an alcohol use disorder, and 85% of the cases in Anchorage were experiencing homelessness at the time of their illness. Now I'd like to walk you through how the outbreak developed. Initially, we noticed the outbreak when a series of 11 cases, including two deaths, were identified at the hospital in Fairbanks. All the cases were the same M type, which is unusual. Additionally, the M type was not one we had seen before in Alaska, called M26.3. We reviewed the cases, but they lived hundreds of miles apart and had no common connections. Fairbanks only has one hospital, and it serves a huge geographic area of outlying communities. Heading into summer 2016, cases stopped occurring in the Fairbanks area, shown here in orange. However, in July and August, several cases occurred in Anchorage, shown here in blue. Unlike Fairbanks, the Anchorage cases seemed linked. The cases were experiencing homelessness in town at the time of their illness, had histories of alcoholism. Anchorage only has one large drop-in shelter and one main soup kitchen, making it likely that cases had been in the same building. As we started the outbreak investigation in Anchorage, we looked at CDC's recommendations for what to do in the event of a Group A strep outbreak. There are recommendations for testing and treating in the healthcare setting, which are to test individuals and treat only those who test positive. In a household where one member has invasive Group A strep infection, recommendations are that no follow-up is necessary unless there's a high-risk person in the house, such as an immunocompromised family member. Then, the provider may wish to prophylax the whole household to prevent transmission to the high-risk person. There are also three recommended antibiotic courses to use. However, this was not a hospital or a home, this was a community setting. So we had to look for our own plan. As we entered the fall in Anchorage, cases increased sharply, shown here in blue. We had two initial goals as we started the outbreak investigation. The first was to prevent additional cases. In order to do this, we decided to interview cases, identify close contacts who might be at higher risk of catching the infection, and prophylax those individuals. Our second goal was to identify and treat cases faster, which we hoped would prevent more serious outcomes. At this point, 18 of 19 cases in the Anchorage area were homeless, so we reached out to that community to promote awareness of the outbreak. AIP increased the frequency of Group A strep testing, or M-typing, and we also sent out health alert to enable faster recognition of possible Group A strep infections by our local providers. Unfortunately, cases continued to occur. We increased our efforts to prevent cases in the community and decrease carriage of the outbreak strain with a mass swabbing event in early December. We had 132 shelter guests participate in our mass testing event. Six were carrying the outbreak strain. We contacted the positives and offered them chemoprophylaxis. To identify cases earlier in the infectious process, we also worked with our local hospitals to increase hours that a small clinic located within the shelter was open, and one hospital donated lab services to test wound swabs from that shelter clinic. Unfortunately, in the rest of December and January, we continued to see cases. So we decided to try a mass dispensation of antibiotics. In order to do that, we needed to choose an antibiotic course to use. There are three recommendations from CDC. The first is an injection of penicillin and 4 days of rifampin. We did not think that our community would be receptive to injections, and trying to give shots to a large number of people created significant logistical challenges for us. Additionally, allergies to penicillin are common, and our tuberculosis control program was concerned about giving out rifampin widely. The second recommendation is 10 days of oral clindamycin. We thought it was very unlikely that our population would be able to take a 10-day course of antibiotics successfully, and the shelter staff had concerns about medication storage. Additionally, clindamycin has a risk of side effects that we are not comfortable with. The third recommendation is for 5 days of oral azithromycin. While azithromycin is a shorter course and has a lower risk of side effects than clindamycin, we had the same concerns about correctly taking all the doses and about medication storage. We concluded that none of these options was likely to be successful in this situation and started looking for other options. We discovered that a single 1 gram dose of azithromycin had been used in some other settings with large groups of people with reasonable success at decreasing the number of cases and the rate of colonization. This option met our needs. It's a single dose oral drug with a low risk of side effects. We decided to go with this plan. We gave out azithromycin at 6 different housing and homeless service providers over the course of 1 week. We had a lot of volunteer help here from our local healthcare providers. We estimate that there are about 1,000 individuals experiencing homelessness in Anchorage, and we were able to interact with 484 of them during this intervention. 394 took the antibiotics, 60 people had contraindications for azithromycin, and some people elected not to take the pills. No serious adverse events were reported to us, although some people did experience nausea. We had been in frequent contact with CDC throughout this outbreak, and when we decided to give out antibiotics, we called an epi aide to help us assess the intervention. We did a colonization assessment with our antibiotic distribution, in which we hoped would provide us with more data about carriage of the outbreak strain, and would also help us determine whether or not the intervention was effective. Our assessment included a survey, oropharyngeal swab, and a non-intact skin swab, if applicable. We swabbed non-intact skin only in accessible places like faces and arms. We did offer incentives for participation in the assessment, such as candy bars and granola bars. We were able to recruit 284 people to complete the survey. We ended up with 350 total samples, including 289 oropharyngeal swabs and 61 non-intact skin swabs. 27 swabs were positive for group A strep, and of these, 12 were M-type 26. We did our antibiotic intervention in the second week of February, and only 3 cases occurred in Anchorage after the intervention, indicated here by red boxes. Only one of these was in a person experiencing homelessness. These results were very encouraging. In March, 1 month after our colonization assessment, we did a follow-up assessment. Testing followed the same methodology and was at the same sites at approximately the same schedule as the first effort. We recruited a similar number of people, but only about one-third, were repeat participants. 4 individuals were colonized with M26.3 as compared to 12 before the intervention, and none of these individuals had taken the azithromycin in February. The decrease in carriage of M26.3 is not statistically significant, but it was certainly significant in terms of our response. In summary, we experienced an outbreak of invasive group A streptococcus centered in the homeless population in Anchorage. The outbreak was caused by a single M-type, type 26.3, and included 52 cases over approximately 1 year. Several different interventions were tried to stop the outbreak. It finally seemed to stop after a mass dispensation of antibiotics. In responding to this outbreak, we found available guidance applicable to our situation to be very limited. Additional recommendations about how to respond to community group A strep outbreaks would be helpful, particularly in light of several other community outbreaks, including one in the homeless population in Canada and one among IV drug users in the UK. Our thanks to everyone who helped us address this outbreak.